Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and with us now is Columbia University linguist, host of the Slate podcast, Lexicon Valley, and New York Times opinion writer, John McWhorter. He's got a virtual New York Times event coming up Thursday night called Woke Words. It's somewhat related to a Times newsletter column called How Woke Became an Insult that John wrote. Let's start there, and we'll get to other words and phrases whose meanings or implications have changed. Hi, John. Thanks for coming on. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Always happy to be here.
And we'll get to other words, too. But to start with woke, you wrote that it seems like it was 10 minutes ago that it was the hot new brand of enlightenment. But you cited being used commonly on Twitter as far back as 2012, being used as far back in a very different way by the blues singer Leadbelly in 1938. So can you start there and take us through some of the origin story of the word woke?
Yeah, woke was supposed to mean awakened. It was Black English slang for awakened, and it meant awakened to certain political realities that especially people left of center are aware of. And that's what it continued to mean in the Black community, kind of under the radar, not used in writing very much, until our modern times, when it happened to jump the rails after about 2010. And after about 2010, it started being used by non-Black people to mean awakened to especially what we're now talking about so much as systemic racism, institutional racism, and the general operations by what we might all call the man with a capital M. And so that was woke, and it was positive. What it did is it very neatly replaced PC, which had come to be used more as a slur than as a compliment. If you're a certain age, you remember, and I hate to admit that I'm now a certain age, in the 80s, you could say PC and not mean it as a joke. A person would say, I'm politically correct, and it was meant as straight as saying, I'm using a fork and a knife. But then the gnat settled upon it, and people who didn't agree with that political viewpoint started to feel abused. And so PC became something that people started trying to slip away from being described as. Woke very neatly replaced it, but then woke got broken too.
Just musically speaking for a second, there's a line from Leadbelly to Erykah Badu.
There really is, because the idea was that to be somebody who has a certain awareness, to be somebody who has a certain legitimacy to speak, to be ready to go out into the world and try to change it, you need to be awakened to certain things that it might be easy to miss if you are not awake. And we can assume that with Leadbelly, it's not that he made it up. He would have picked it up in his community. People could have been saying woke, you know, decades before that. But that's just the first time that we can see it used in a way that's recorded. We tend to forget how much speech went on and was never either recorded or written down before about 10 minutes ago. And then it happened really, you know, right under our feet. I remember I was on a TV show talking about how woke was a relatively new word to me back in 2018. And even since then, it really has tipped into being used more as a word of dismissal and abuse than as a neutral word. I'm at the point where when I write woke, I realized only about 2 months ago, when I write woke, I now have to understand that it doesn't mean what it meant in 2017. Mm. It's harder to write it neutrally now. You have to think about what other people are thinking. That's how words change.
But would it be accurate to say the mainstream usage has changed from a compliment to an insult in certain circles? You know, I'm thinking, for example, of the right-wing talk show host Glenn Beck, who for years used the term social justice, ironically and demeaningly. But advocates of social justice still use that earnestly today. And maybe that's the same with woke, that you can still write woke if you mean it in an earnest respect. Just you know that somebody on Fox or whatever is going to shoot arrows at it.
I think if you use woke in that neutral way now, you are asserting that you're going to do it in the face of something that's become so common that you think of yourself as, you know, tilting at the windmills or standing up straight. It reminds me of the way some people were reclaiming liberal back in the aughts when you had people like Ann Coulter using it with, you know, using it with that kind of snarl that she used it. And that was part of a whole fashion from the right at the time, try not to talk to a liberal. And then there were people who were saying, no, you know, God damn it, I am a liberal. Now you would have to use woke in that way and say, yeah, I'm sure as hell woke, and I don't care what these other people are saying about it. But I think it would be very much on the defensive. And Brian, here's a guess, and these guesses are so often wrong, but that doesn't mean that people like me won't make them. Social justice? I sense that the knives are sharpening against the use of that term because there are people who disagree with what the current conceptions of it are. And for people who are listening and thinking like him, yes, I do have certain disagreements with a lot of what is being called social justice these days. But I'm not saying that I'm going to try to tackle the term. But I think that social justice is going to be a term that is used with irony by, you know, people like Glenn Beck. And as such, people who use it in a more neutral way are going to start being more on the defensive. And I mark my words, let's go back to this when in 20 years what's now meant as social justice by quote unquote the woke, there'll be some other term, because social justice will have become too loaded within our current context.
Right. I think we didn't close the loop on Erica Badu, by the way. There's a particular song, right? I think it's Master Teacher.
Yeah, that's the one that seems to have really tipped it because of her prominence.
So listeners, ask John McWhorter about the word woke, or talk about how you have used it, or stopped using it, or changed how you use it, 646-435-7280. Or we can broaden this, and we will broaden this, to other words or phrases for which you think the meaning has changed over time or that people have stopped using. John writes about the new attempt to not use the term "you guys." And we'll get to that, you guys. Any other ones from you, listeners, or how you use woke? 646-435-7280. 646-435-7280. Before we get to you guys, I want to make sure we put woke and the conversation around it in the historical context that you put it in, because your article mentioned that since it originated in its political meaning from Black vernacular English, that might have affected its trajectory in white America, like seeing the phrase "stay woke" on white people's T-shirts. That's a phenomenon that's happened with a number of words, right?
Definitely. It's part of the browning of America that it's easy to miss, especially if, you know, you are not a certain age these days. But something really started happening in the late 80s and crested in the mid 90s, such that it's now ordinary for mainstream culture to borrow Black slang and things that are definitely known prominently as Black slang, because there is this love-hate relationship with Black English. The whole discussion that we used to have in the 70s and 80s, where Black English is discussed as this despised dialect, all of that was very much true then, and there's some of it now. But it's also true that because of all of the contact that the races have, because of the nature of pop culture and because of the nature of social media, there is also a great affection for Black English. Black English is read as trustworthy to the extent that, for example, you can see that Black voices, and we all know what I mean by that, that you can identify most Black people by their vowels, for example. Black voices are all over Madison Avenue at this point. It's clearly considered a plus for the person who's doing the advertising to have that particular vocal quality. And I would say that also on NPR, I'm noticing, I don't know if it's a conscious decision, but I get the feeling somebody up there has decided that especially having a Black male voice for the announcements and the bumpers is a good thing. That is something that would have been unheard of in, say, 1995 or even in 2000. So there's a real change a-coming.
You were quoted in The Atlantic recently about the term "you guys," and the problem with that is obvious. It's gender specific, and it's used to refer to people who aren't just male. And you riffed on the word "y'all" as a replacement gender neutral term that some people are using, but you predicted "y'all" would not catch on beyond a certain point. Can you talk about "you guys" versus "y'all"?
Well, y'all, it seems to me, has such a stigma attached to it in many quarters that it'll keep it from really catching on. Just a little stigma doesn't really have much effect on whether something gets around. But when something is really singled out, it's kind of like in Black English, axe instead of ask, then it has a way of keeping it from settling in beyond a certain point. Y'all is also associated not only with Black people, but with the South. And so it's seen as a regionalism, and there are always those tensions and those interpretations. But as far as you guys, it's a weird thing because you think you're talking about guys and the guys are male, but it's beginning to be processed by many people as quite gender neutral in the same way as they has been processed in some contexts as gender neutral since medieval times, despite an eternal resistance against it. And so people hear language differently than a pedant might write it down. So for many women, you guys is okay. For many women, it's not, and I can completely understand it. But language change is trying to make you guys a way of just saying folks or people, with the reference to maleness being something that you only reflect about, something that somebody has to be told about. It's neat to see.
Wilson in Bushwick, you're on WNYC. Hello, Wilson.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for taking my call. Yes, I'm an English professor for CUNY, and so this conversation is very interesting to me. So you mentioned Master Teacher, which I think is a great song by Erykah Badu, which talks about being awake. It's very important. You're also talking about y'all and versus you guys. I'm from the South originally. I live in Brooklyn now. But yes, I do prefer the term y'all to you guys, but it is because it is gender neutral. And I think this idea about being woke is important because it is connected to a racialized, or I would say anti-racist ideology, right? Like you're like when you're talking about being woke, you're talking about not, aware of the white supremacy that exists in this country. So I guess I would say that, yes.
You know, I completely agree with that. There's a kind of person, I think of it as defaultly a white person, who looks at what's going on in America and says, what are Black people complaining about? What's the big deal? My grandfather did this, my grandmother did that. What's the issue? What's the tension? And contrary to what some people might think, I am not one of those people. I tend to complicate the matter. There does need to be a term for being aware that there are larger issues than just whether or not somebody uses the N-word and whether or not you can live in a certain neighborhood. That needs to be there. Politically correct, I remember when I first heard it in 84, I thought, what a useful term. And woke is somewhat more racialized. And when I first picked up that that was now, as we say, a thing, I thought, yeah, there needs to be that. And I'm glad that it came from Black English. So I don't think that wokeness, a la what everybody meant in 2015, is something that is wrong. And I don't think wokeness itself is wrong now. I think that there are woke people who can be rather sadly abusive towards those who aren't, or those who aren't enough. And I think that's where the impatience comes in and people start having unpleasant associations with the word. But wokeness in itself, yes, I call that part of being an educated, enlightened person. It's just what happens when all these things hit the ground.
Wilson, thanks. Call us again. Nikki in Somerville, you're on WNYC. Hi, Nikki. Do we have Nikki in Somerville? Is it Nikki?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi there. Go ahead.
So I was thinking about, the advertising and media part of using woke. And when I went to college at NYU, and when I first learned woke, it was there. But I remember watching an SNL sketch about, Levi's jeans that are gender neutral, non-conforming, non-body, they don't fit. And their tagline is if it's everyone because it doesn't fit anyone. And they're called Levi Wokes, which I thought was interesting because it's, a perversion of the word, which I had just been introduced to at that point as being
right.
Something that meant more sexually aware and eye opening.
And so once you see it being used to sell jeans, then it's over, right?
Yeah, it seemed a little gimmicky after that. And then anytime I would experience it in a social setting, it was almost like mocking.
Yeah. And so is there another word or phrase that you would use to convey the same thing in a serious way?
I mean, my friends and I tend to lean, you know, social justice, social awareness, socially conscious. We use like more academic terms, I feel like. That's like our tendency, but in the beginning it really, we did use woke very seriously, and I can't even think about how it like changed overnight for us.
Yeah. Nikki, thank you.
Yeah, I think that inevitably advertising is going to create those moments for us where we feel like something is being exploited or distorted, or and the wrong vision of it is going to spread because advertising is so vivid and sticks so much in our minds. Another thing about advertising is that you get into the notion of irony or wit, which can be so subtle, especially since different people have different visions of what is witty and to what extent we use irony and whether or not it's okay. I wish there were more study done of that particular aspect of being a human being. But it makes these things more complicated. We think that a word means something, and we think of a dictionary. That just isn't the way language works, and it's so clear to us in our times because we see these things happening in social media in real time so very quickly. We can all talk to each other in a way that wasn't possible until roughly 15 years ago. And so, yeah, it's a challenge. We have to adapt our sense of what it is for a word to mean something, because if it's at all interesting a word, it doesn't mean any one thing, even though we would like it to.
Here is Nancy on the Upper West Side in defense of you guys. Hi, Nancy. You're on WNYC.
Hi. I'd like Mr. McWhorter's opinion on this, because what I've understood was that Guy refers to Guy Fawkes and his Catholic rebellion against Parliament and his attempt to blow up Parliament. I think it's 1605, but I'm not sure. And it came to mean over the years between now and 1605, or whenever you guys became a common substitute for y'all, at least here, that it meant a daring person, a person who was willing to take a chance, and from there a sort of jovial person, a happy, easygoing person. So that was a transformation in itself, but it never meant exclusively men, although probably the people who were planning to blow up Parliament were almost all men, if not
so.
What do you think?
You know, I think that I would say that Guy, as it evolved from that kind of usage, was a male referent rather than one to a generally exuberant or daring person. To reclaim it, and to suppose that we need to think of Guy as exemplifying the spirit of the conspirators of the Guy Fawkes attempt. And, you know, I think we can assume that most of them, if not all of them, were men. But still, that is healthy, because if you ask me, people are not going to stop saying you guys to rooms full of women, especially since, let's face it, many women do it. We can converse about it, but it's not going to stop. And so it seems healthier to me to just wrap our heads around a way that we can like it. That is a creative one, but I certainly could not disapprove.
Right. Well, it will stop in a lot of places because people will decide that it marginalizes women, and so they won't say it, right?
Those people will certainly not say it, and I completely understand that point of view, especially since there are studies, there are actual psycholinguistic studies that show that for all you might say that using some originally male form as a gender-neutral term means both of the genders and not just the guy, you can show that people are thinking about the male reference more than the female reference. That's been shown in particular for French, where you say il for they, and it means both they men and they women. Now, you're thinking of the they men more than the they women. So that is definitely a principle, and it's something that we have to think about. But then again, is the solution to that to really prescribe you guys and make people feel really bad about it? And that happens with some words. That's the stigma that I'm talking about that really can help make change. But it tends to only work for a certain few really in the shop window items. Maybe you guys would become one of those things. We'd have to see.
Now, I see you're going to have this virtual event Thursday night for New York Times subscribers specifically, right? So people have be a Times subscriber to log on to this, that will explore the evolving role of language in our lives. And I guess you're going to be talking about woke and other words.
And it's called Woke Words. And if you miss it, then, you know, not everybody can, you know, be dealing with something Thursday when you were supposed to be cooking dinner. You can drop in on it later. It will be recorded for posterity, unlike the true history of the word woke. But yes, that is happening Thursday at 7 p.m.
And it's not just you, right? You're going to be talking to, I forget the name of the... Go ahead,
Jane Costin, who is always great fun to talk to, and she and I have done like 400 things together. So yes, I'll be talking with Jane Costin.
She does the argument, right? Which brings people with multiple points of view together.
Exactly. And she's very good at it, and so she will be my interlocutor.
And what's next for you? What can we look for from you on Lexicon Valley, on Slate, or in your Times newsletter, or anywhere else?
Well, you know, in brief, I have a book coming out called Woke Racism that's going to make a lot of people angry and some people happy, and that comes out on October 26th. And I want to say my podcast Lexicon Valley is no longer at Slate, but it's the same show still going at booksmart.org. So booksmart.com. And so I'm doing the same show, but I'm doing it under a new empire on Substack. So Lexicon Valley continues, and it is still one of my great loves. But next is Woke Racism in a couple of weeks. So those two things.
Everybody winds up on Substack eventually.
It's
so
the whole world.
John McWhorter, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
The Brian Lehrer Show is produced by Lisa Allison, Mary Croak, Zoe Azoulay, Amina Cerna, and Carl Boisron. Zach Goddard-Cohen works on our daily podcast. Juliana Fonda and Leora Noam Kravitz at the audio controls. Our interns this fall are James O'Donnell and Prerna Chowdhury. I'm Brian Lehrer.